You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
What's up? Welcome back. In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My friends, it is very good to talk to you. We are glad to be back. Second hour, we are talking fantasy baseball. Baseball time. We talked fantasy football.
Baseball.
Talked real life football in the last hour. Real life football we were going through. And now we're going to talk about some fantasy baseball as well as real life baseball. It's all real and it's all fake, I guess. One of the interesting things I've noticed about baseball for this season that I just can't recall another time is the amount of players that have not signed. It's like unreal.
I mean, I heard our buddy Spore talking about it on his Sleeper in the Bus podcast, but he was saying that, you know, I know there's a lot of recency bias when you say stuff like this, but this is the craziest free agent period ever. Like, as far as guys not signing, because we're sitting here, you know, 3 weeks away from spring training. I mean, pitchers and catchers probably reporting, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that?
Pretty much.
So, and half these dudes have not signed. So, you know what I like to do when something's taking forever? I like to blame someone.
Yeah, I like to point fingers as well. That's a fun thing to do.
Right, yeah, I mean,
so let's blame somebody. Who should we blame?
Scott Boras.
Yeah, absolutely. His name's Scott, for sure. Any Scott with a B.
Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah, any Scott with the starts of the B-O.
Problem. That's right, yeah.
Now look at that. But Scott Boras is like number one
successful
criminal.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess you could look at him as successful. He's something to look up to. But yeah, Scott Boras is holding the whole market down. I mean, take a look at JD Martinez, who we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. JD Martinez had, about a week ago, there was reported $100 million offer from the Red Sox. Scott Boras has said he wants 7 years, $210 million.
Wait,
that is quite a gap.
No one has that money.
Well, Scott Boras is going to press it. He's out there trying to sell every single one of these players. And it is crazy the amount of free agents we still have out there. Now, I don't know how many Scott Boras is actually representing of the big names. You know, you've got Yu Darvish out there and whatnot. But the market is being held up by maybe the few little trade options
right. And
the Boras agents, because teams need to know what they're getting themselves into.
Right. Well, the teams have to spend on the big guys, and most of the big guys left are under Scott Boras, and he's just holding out for more money. And you know, I don't know how long these guys are willing to wait. You know, if I was JD Martinez, I know, like, I would want my deal done within the next 2 weeks, so I know where I'm reporting and where I need to move my family. You know,
he says he's willing to go into
somewhere else.
Is it willing to go into spring training? Now, the only thing to, I mean, I guess we'll just jump at it as we're going to break here is the what is it? Let me pull it up here. I think it's Tom Warner. Red Sox chairman just said today that the Red Sox are in active negotiations with free agent JD Martinez. So to me, this is one of those moves that's ready to go down. Like, I think JD Martinez is signing with the Red Sox. No other team is probably out there with even close to the money. So unfortunately,
and they need that thumper. They need him.
And they need that thumper. The Red Sox are probably, or Boras is probably competing against himself, trying to create a market. And that is where JD Martinez is at. But we are going to talk about JD Martinez. We're going to talk about some trade rumors, some trades that went down. We've got some debates to go through in the fantasy baseball world. Whole lot coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League.
Are you new to daily fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
It's In This League.
Everybody is half win and half lose.
Okay.
The lose half is
Scott Bogman.
Right.
The winning half is
Chris Welsh.
Right.
In This League.
It's inside. It's where the fear lives.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Could you start over again?
Let's play ball.
In This League.
Let's see it.
That's right. Let's play ball, my friends.
What
baseball
the hell,
is right around the corner.
Why am I the lose side? Did you not hear that? He said Scott Bogman is the lewd side and the Welsh is the wind side.
I mean,
why did I draw like the short stick?
Hey, listen, you don't question the manimal.
Listen.
The manimal questions you.
Listen, the manimal.
Listen.
I want to know if he has physical features the same as Kenneth Faried. If that's why he got that.
What are you referring to? The very large dreads?
I think. Well, what do you have to say for yourself, Pavona?
What, that I used you as the losing side?
Why am I the lose side?
Honestly, the reason why I picked it, it's the way that he said it. Scott Bogman. It just sounded like it went better with being a loser.
Like a loser. Yeah.
So you could blame the voice. You could blame voice guy on that one.
Sorry, buddy. Sometimes
it's nothing personal. World. I just really like that part from Rookie of the Year.
Enough. Thank you. Enough. I've had enough. Goodbye.
Hey.
That's funny. All right. Welcome back. Baseball. It's right around the corner. I mean, Bogman, you said it. Pitchers and catchers are going to report.
I did say just, welcome to the Welsh show.
Yeah, well, they're going to be reporting very soon. It's our show, Bogman. Don't worry. You can be the lovable loser occasionally. I take that role plenty of times. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Baseball is so close. Last week, I was actually out. MLB was doing what they call the Dream Series. And I'm going to, if you guys are interested in this, on my Prospect One show, if you're into prospects in any capacity for minor leagues, I think you would enjoy the show. I've got a whole bunch of, Baxter Bogman joined me. We did a top 10 prospect series on every team. We just finished it. And what we've got next week is I've got Eric Longenhagen from Fangraphs. We're talking about stuff, but an episode I'm going to do is I was out. I got my first taste of baseball most recently. The Dream Series, the MLB was hosting, and Kumar Rocker, who is a top 10 potential pick in this year's draft, I interviewed him and former baseball player Junior Spivey. If you remember Junior Spivey, Boggs, I know you do. He was a Diamondback.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
so I interviewed both
of
them.
And a million other things for Richie Sexson. Sexson promptly played about 15 games, tore up his shoulder, and then was gone.
Do you think we could name the trade off the top of our head? Because I know it was Junior Spivey. I know Craig Counsell was involved.
There's no way I can remember that far back, man.
I don't remember any. So hold on. Let's go. Richie Sexson D-back trade.
There was another outfielder in there somewhere.
Oh, Lyle Overbay was involved.
Lyle Overbay. First
Here we
person.
Go.
Well, we yep, so you had Craig Counsell.
Dude, we traded Craig Counsell. We traded Junior Spivey, Lyle Overbay, Chad Moeller. Oh, I was about to say this guy. I would have been right. Jorge De La Rosa and Chris Capuano.
Chris Capuano. Yeah. I think I was upset about Chris Capuano. LOL.
Yeah, well, we both like Chris
Capuano. You know, Counts and Overbay were the big deals there. So, I mean, Overbay played a long time. So.
I like Lyle Overbay. But the whole point of the conversation is, like, baseball is so much here. I got to get out into the field just last weekend, interview a former player, a future big-time player, big-time prospect. Those interviews will be on my Prospect One show, so check it out. But what that means is fantasy baseball is around the corner, and your prep is here. We've got live mock drafts at InThisLeague.com. We've been doing. Those are fun episodes. We're breaking down a bunch of stuff. And actually, we can even just say it here. Pavona doesn't even know about this, but we are putting together a very interesting fantasy book, and we're hoping it's going to be released sometime in February, and we will be whoring ourselves out to every show on the network that will take us to talk about
it. Get ready.
And it's a, yeah, get ready. Yeah, get ready, Bavona. You better be booking us on every single show when we get this set. But it's not a draft guide. It's something completely different. We're doing it player debate style. There's a boxing element to it, and we're doing guest scoring. We've got some of the best in the industry. Eno's actually one of the ones we didn't grab, but we got Paul Spohr, Jason Collette, Seeley, Pisapia. They're all on there, and a host of others. I think we got like 16-plus people guest scoring on it. It's going to be a very cool thing. But baseball is on our mind, and the news is starting to come out, regardless if Scott Boras doesn't want us to have nice things or not, Boggs.
Trades can get done, the Welsh, without Scott Boras's approval. So we did have a huge trade. It happened about 2 days after our show last week. Andrew McCutchen.
Oh, so it's not the Randall Grichuk trade from today.
No, it's not the Randall Grichuk trade. Andrew McCutchen goes to the Giants. He's going to play, I believe they said he's going to play right field. They're going to shift Pence over to left. And right now they have Duggar slated to play center field for the Giants. What do you think about the Andrew McCutchen trade?
I mean, I thought it was a good trade in general for them. They traded Brian Reynolds, who I kind of liked. And then, oh, God, I just drew a blank. Who was the other dude that they traded? The Pittsburgh Pirates got. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
That's how impactful the trade was.
They were so bad. It was clearly just, you know, a Pirates salary dump.
But it was one of those
Garrett
things.
Cole a couple days after that. So
yeah, I mean, that was an interesting trade. But I thought it was good for the Giants. So the Giants are going to make a run. You got Longoria. You go get McCutcheon. They really should go and sign Lorenzo Cain, which, you know, speaking of Eno, this is why Eno was on my mind. Eno wrote this article because, you know, he is able to cover the Bay Area and whatnot. He has a close, you know, connection to the Giants of how, you know, the Giants are trying to keep under the luxury tax, but the luxury tax amount that they actually get hit, he was breaking it down. If they signed Lorenzo Cain, it would end up only being a couple $1 million. And it's like, if you're going to go for it, just go for it. I don't think they want to have the multiple years of the luxury, but it's well worth the investment. So I really think that they should. And especially if you're going to go get, you know, McCutcheon, you got an interesting outfield, though. You'd have Pence, Kane, and McCutcheon, and that would be really solid.
More important move for the offseason for the Giants, trading for Andrew McCutcheon or taking away all of Madison Bumgarner's ATVs?
ATVs, like, hands down.
Not even
that
close,
guy,
right?
That guy, they had to go to his house. They must have confiscated. And I, guess what? He has all of these things. He must. Bicycles, tricycles, rollerblades, roller skates, Segways, any all-terrain vehicle, motorcycles.
Segways.
They take his cars away.
A white nerdy video.
They only send Uber drivers and Lyft or whichever one they care about in San Francisco. It's probably Lyft because they want to be trendy. And that's all that they do for Madison Bumgarner.
Or, you know, Lyft because they don't want to be harassed by their Uber driver.
It's a fair point. Well, you know what? Never been in an Uber, but I've been in a Lyft. Very enjoyable experience. Outside of, I'm a personable guy, but I also like to sit in quiet and not be talked to. And the guy really wanted to talk a lot, so I
did
it.
You're too good to talk to the
Lyft No, driver. Wasn't too good at all. But I would have been very accepting if, like, he didn't want to talk. I would have been very cool with that. But we talked. Very enjoyable experience. He got us there. So big ups to Lyft. Was not harassed whatsoever.
What's his name?
Anziza
Sari. Your Lyft driver.
Anziza Sari.
Oh, man. Well, you really hit rock bottom after those harassment charges then.
That's what happens, man.
So where do you see – all right, so Andrew McCutcheon. The most interesting thing to me is they have him slated to hit leadoff right now. So I like that for
weird.
his stolen bases, but that's not – and it's good for his runs too, but RBIs, power.
You know,
also,
I get
– maybe
yeah,
going
that's
down
a good...
in San Francisco. Maybe not, but
– yeah, I mean, he could definitely be a home run option. That would be interesting if they let him off. I wonder if they would – like. They would push the stolen base numbers up because Buster Posey at 3 makes sense. You could put maybe Brandon Belt at 4, Pence at 5.
If they sign Lorenzo Cain, he'll slide back to 2.
Absolutely. You lead off with Lorenzo Cain.
Kutch, Longo,
yep.
Posey, Belt.
Absolutely. In my world, I'd find a way to put like Brandon Crawford at 2 and then you put McCutcheon at 4 behind him or something like that. So I want to set the table for what we're going to talk about in the next segment. So there was a trade that went down today. The St. Louis Cardinals traded Randall Grichuk, outfielder, lots of power, no average to speak of. Off the charts type of power, by the way, but he just cannot barrel up the ball.
I like better when they did this trade a couple years ago, and it's Colby Rasmus. Same trade.
It's almost the exact same. You're 100% right. They traded him for 2 relief pitching arms, Connor Green, I've seen out in the fall league, and Dominic Leone. Fine trade. Some people like it. Some people don't. It's regardless of the point. But one of the things that it did, which was so fascinating to me, was if the Toronto Blue Jays wanted a 30-plus home run potential outfielder who doesn't have a good average and is okay in the outfield, they had that guy last year. That guy's also a free agent, and he doesn't have a home. His name's Jose Bautista. I mean, that closed the door on Jose Bautista because some people thought maybe there's a potential that he could return to Toronto on a one-year deal. He's going to probably play it out, something like that. That closes the door like single-handedly on that. I would say there's no opportunity unless they wanted to DH him and they could find a way. But the question is, and I'll set the tables, Bogman, and we can answer this when we get back, is there a home for Jose Bautista? Is it over?
I don't think it's over. I think someone will sign a dude with that much power. He'll find a home somewhere. It may not be the one that he wants, you know, but
like Japan?
It might be... No, not Japan. I think someone will sign him to DH. I mean, there are plenty of teams that could use a big bat.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get back. We'll see. Could it be worthwhile to sit out there and see if Jose Bautista can have a team? Could he revive for a couple years? Could he pull a David Ortiz? I don't know. We'll talk about that. We're talking about Manny Machado rumors that are going on. Can we trust a certain outfielder in New York? And then we'll talk about some of the other stuff going down. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, Pomona. It's all happening. We'll be back.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's In This League.
I see aliens. Little aliens from outer space. They force their way inside your bodies. They need your talent to win a basketball game against...
Chris Welsh.
I also see...
Scott Bogman.
...being sucked down a golf hole by furry creatures.
Welcome that back. It's the Space Jam. Woo-woo. What'd you say?
So that painted me in a great light.
Yeah, you got to be... Well, wait, was that Bill Murray or were you Dotson from Jurassic Park?
Well, it's definitely not Dotson.
Was it Jordan?
I mean, look,
oh, Jordan.
I gained a lot of weight, but I'm not Dotson.
So. I was just checking. I was just making sure where... Yeah, I guess that was Jordan. Okay, that was a good one. It's a Space Jam. So on the other side of the break, we brought up the idea of Jose Bautista. Because he's one of these guys that no one's talking about. Now, there's plenty of guys that don't have jobs right now, so that's not a question. The thing about Jose Bautista is the options are they're really falling. And it's not like he's – I mean, dude, there are 39-year-old players that are in starting lineups this year. There are you know, guys that are really old that are still going. Jose Bautista is, I think, 36, 37 years old. The guy could still pull off 2 years. I bet he wants a 3-year contract to finish out his career. Horrible average, still an OBP guy. His average has just continuously kind of gotten worse. He's a shell of who he was. There's no question about that. But the theory is, you know, though he rubs some players the wrong way or some fans the wrong way, he's still a likable name brand type of player. The Blue Jays trading for Grichuk all but assures that that will not happen, even if there was a shred of ability for it, too. So what I figured we'd do is let's take a look. Is there a possibility that Jose Bautista finds a gig out there? It's going to have to, I believe it's going to have to be in the AL. I believe there might be a team or two that, you know, is going to try to stay above, you know, that marker they have to for salaries to be eligible for the split. You know, so like teams can't just go have a $10 million roster or there's penalties to it or they're not involved in the kind of like the financial split that they've created. So I'm going to give you one that I think, and then Bogman, you can put one out. I think a team that might be primed for a situation just like what I just said, maybe they're going to want some leadership because they had just traded some of it away. Maybe they're just going to want to, you know, stay above the tax lines. This is a guy that could go out and play DH, maybe left field for him. What about the Tampa Bay Rays? Tampa Bay Rays right now, their left fielder is Malik Smith, or if you want to say Corey Dickerson. If it's Corey Dickerson, they don't have a DH. That might be a prime spot.
Too. They've got
he can play center.
Too.
He'll probably play center.
Kiermaier plays center. Saying Kiermaier.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm looking at? Yeah, Kiermaier's not on here. You're absolutely right about that. So, I mean, that actually that might confuse it a little bit more because they'd have to decide between Corey Dickerson and a guy like Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one of them can play first base because Brad Miller's at first, you know.
Good point. I mean, Jose Bautista can play first. That is something that he's probably going to have to consider. I just think a team like the Rays, they might be in a position where they might actually need to bring on some salary. They might want to bring on some salary, and it might be worth, you know, a 1 year, couple million dollars, $3 or $4 million to bring him on, and he can kind of coach up some of these young guys. You know, he can be the leadership. They don't really have a lot of leadership if you look across the team, maybe outside of Wilson Ramos. So I would say, I'm going to say the Rays and Jose Bautista. What about you?
Wilson Ramos, and he has the most experience of being kidnapped and, you know, having Miguel Cabrera pay off his ransom. For me, I like the Twins. You know, they could use a little bit of power in this lineup, you know, especially if something, you know, if there's a large suspension looming from Miguel Sano. I don't know how that's going to work or what's going on with that. They don't have a lot of thump in this lineup. They got Maurer. You know, Rosario can hit some bombs. Buxton, you know, Kepler's got some thump. Eduardo Escobar is slated to be their DH, and maybe Jose Bautista can slide in there, and they could use a power bat. So.
I kind of like that one, especially you taking into consideration the Sano stuff. Though, I mean, it's not like he's going to fill that spot, but they lose kind of some of that, a little bit of power in the lineup, but they still have, you know, Dozier and Buxton. But I think that's a really interesting one, especially with one of the rumors that's circulating around is people are saying that the Twins have a realistic option to sign Yu Darvish, which would
be wild
to me if he went there. But I mean, I think it's kind of cool to, you know, I break the trend of some of the teams we thought where, you know, you have a Shohei Ohtani go to the Angels and then you'd have him go to the Twins, Darvish. So I like the Twins one. Here's one more. In the vein of what I mentioned with the Rays, a team that might want to, you know, bring some salary on to make sure they're in compliance. What about the Chicago White Sox? Now, the Chicago White Sox, they've got some great young talent. They've got Abreu is definitely a leader. They've got Moncada, Tim Anderson, and then a lot of young, Wellington Castillo came in, but still a lot of young guys. Their DH right now is said to be Nick Delmonico. And I think Jose Bautista might fit mighty fine, though he has never been on the spring training side over in the Arizona leagues. But I think there might be a home there. A lot of countrymen to kind of, you know, coach up and be a leader for. He could DH. Maybe they could swing him out in the outfield if it was needed. I think the Chicago White Sox might be a prime candidate because I don't see another DH option for them.
I like that idea a lot. And if there's something these young guys need to learn, it's how to do the bat flips. And Jose Bautista will absolutely be the well, they don't need to learn that from Jose Bautista, I can tell you that much.
So well, good, take a punch, good thing, not swing it.
Good thing that, he couldn't really take it either. I mean, didn't That's you see his point. Knees buckle and his teammate had to hold him up? So, spaghetti legs. You know, if we had him in our debate book, he'd go down first round, I can tell you that much.
I think so. I don't think he'd be lasting too long.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fit. And then if you slid him into, like, the sixth spot there, he'd be hitting ahead of, you know, whether it's Tilson or Tim Anderson they decide to put up at the top, Yoan, Moncada, Abreu, Avi, and Wellington Castillo. So I think it's
okay,
a good
let me
spot
ask you this.
For him. I like the White Sox.
Let me ask you this. If he does. Let me ask you this. You and me, we're going to say the White Sox. Is he fantasy relevant? If he's a White Sox. Or if he's just playing. It doesn't even matter what team he's playing.
You know, I think he possibly could be, especially in a deeper league, but you can't have that type of average without getting like 40 homers. You know what I mean? So you can't have a 203 average. So he's got to bring the average up to
Joey Gallo disagrees.
At least 240, you know. So hit 240. Well, I mean, if you're going to hit 40 homers, you can hit 210. But if you're not going to hit 40 homers, if you're going to hit 20 homers, you can't hit 210. You're not very valuable to my team then. So,
yeah.
I would say that he's got to bring that batting average up to at least 240 to be relevant for fantasy this year. So, he's like a last round flyer you take and you go, we'll see, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he has a team, what's going to end up happening is he's not going to have a team. And then it'll happen late. Though I would think a guy like Jose Bautista, they might want to like get locked in as spring training goes to kind of get things set. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened halfway through. But moving on from that, though, there's a trade rumor that's going on. Or it's not necessarily going on at this moment, but it had popped up. We have been talking about Machado for a little bit, Manny Machado. And because there are a lot of rumors, there's one.
Because we want him we've been talking about him because we want him here.
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks have been very aggressive. It's been reported, I think Bob Nightingale or John Morrissey or somebody reported that the Diamondbacks have been very aggressive in the Manny Machado sweepstakes. The Phillies have been involved. The White Sox were somebody at some point that were out there. But I believe it was John Morrissey reported that last month the Indians and the Orioles were in deep conversations. It didn't materialize. And it hasn't necessarily been brought back up. But the Indians and the Orioles had talked about a Manny Machado trade, which, if that were to go down, would make the Indians one of the most ridiculous AL. I mean, we talk about what, you know, Stanton did to that offensive lineup in New York. Manny Machado goes and joins Lindor. Jose Ramirez, E5. I mean, I would say offensively, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the league. And the Indians have the depth in their minor league system. If they wanted to make a play, they could offer a player like Francisco Mejia if they wanted to. Even for 1 year of Machado, I think it's well worth it.
Who's on the outs then? I guess it'd be Chisenhall. I guess they'd probably slide Jose over to second and Kipnis
ain't
would
no
go back
thing.
To the outfield. Yeah, I guess it's Chisenhall. But yeah, man, that would be huge. That would I would, as a Manny Machado owner, I would be very, very happy if he wound up in Cleveland. That'd be great.
Well, and I think it's good on all sides. I mean, there could be like a potential offensive dip people might look at, you know, leaving Camden. But I would still feel good about it. I would still feel really good about
him there. See a first rounder if he goes to Cleveland?
I don't think so. I think he's still on that borderline. I wouldn't call him. I mean, he's not a first rounder now where he's playing.
Right.
So I wouldn't move him there. But I might be a little bit more aggressive where he might be going 15, 16, 17. Maybe he's becoming the wheel pick. He's 13. A team is going and taking, you know, Anthony Rizzo and him, or they're getting, you know, a Correa that's falling and they're taking Machado. I think it's big, but what it also does is if that move were to happen, it could open up Francisco Mejia getting playing time because he was out here in the fall league working at third base, and the Orioles would have an immediate opening at third base if they wanted to go that route. I mean, they could move. Jonathan Scope is at second. Mejia is probably not going to be a closer or a catcher, but I mean, they got Chan Cisco and Caleb Joseph. So you might see Mejia get fantasy value. That trade would do a lot of wonders outside of breaking our heart that he wasn't a Arizona Diamondback.
I just want to know, like, what are these teams moving? You said it's Mejia for them. What would the Diamondbacks have to give up for him? Like Jake Lamb and something? Or what would it be?
Probably Drury. I bet you it centers around Drury because he can go play third base. I'll bet you that trade is Drury and then like a Taylor Clark. That would be my guess of what the trade is. Taylor Clark and Brandon Drury is what it takes for 1 year of Machado. And I don't think the Diamondbacks have wanted to give it up, but I think they should. I think a lot of teams should. Quick question before we go to break. Does Manny Machado get traded? Does he?
I say that he doesn't. I don't think he's going to get moved. I think this... I think the Orioles are going to kind of play themselves. I think they're going to ask for too much, and it's not going to get done right now. But maybe All-Star break or, you know, trade deadline.
And then the Orioles will go drop $10 million for Bautista because they're going to try to win this year. It'll be a joke. There'll be another joke. All the guys hit 210 with 40 homers. All right. Coming back, we're going to talk about some little player debates that we've been seeing going on in the space with some rookies. So don't go anywhere. More fantasy baseball talk coming up.
When you wake up in the morning, is fantasy sports usually the first thing on your mind? If the answer is yes, then you have to immediately tune into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network to get your day started. Scott Engel greets you every weekday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on Fantasy Sports Today. It's bacon, eggs, and the king every morning. Scott delivers all the latest fantasy news and adds his own analysis to get your fantasy day rolling. Don't miss Fantasy Sports Today, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's In This League.
You've got to come back with me.
Where?
In This League.
Great Scott.
Great Scott Bogman.
And that's Bogman. Right.
There you go. I'm a little happier. Welcome back In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed any portion of the show, you missed us talking about fantasy football. Or football in general. You missed some of the Shrine Game breakdown, some prospect breakdown from Bogman. Go to fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio, and you can check the on-demand section, and you can make sure you don't miss a minute of it. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever podcasts are. Just search In This League. You'll also find all the other shows we do. We do the In This League baseball, football, basketball podcast that we have been doing for years. It's definitely a different feel than you've heard before. We've got NFL draft, we've got prospect coverage, plus we have got a whole universe we've created. It's like the Marvel universe with Disney, but it's less Disney, even though Pavona would love if it were more Disney. It's less Disney, and it's a little sketchy, you know, a little more adult. But we have got GroupMe rooms, comedy shows, whole universe you can check out. Patreon.com/ITL Army, or just go to inthisleague.com, and that's the hub of where you can find all that stuff. So
like
Machado, You do like Cubs. So we teased a big kind of prospect conversation. You know, there's prospects are kind of big in this coming year, even though, you know, I mean, Dynasty, it's a whole nother. Yeah, it's a whole nother question
in Dynasty.
Everybody
likes the shiny toy, man. Everybody wants the new guy, the hotness, the dude who's going to come up. Everybody wants that.
It happens every year.
And it's hard to blame them.
Yeah, it is. Last year was Moncada, and it was Bellinger. This year, there's a host of guys that are warranting a whole lot of conversation. But, I mean, maybe one of the biggest names to talk about in the whole land, maybe even for the 2018 season, because he will be at spring training. Yes, I'm talking about Tim Tebow. I'm talking about Tim Tebow, Bogman.
You got me on that.
That's
one.
Right, Azer.
You got me.
Okay, I got you. So Tim Tebow, not that we should be covering this, even though he single-handedly saved a man's life last year who just he had like a seizure, and Tim Tebow came over.
Yeah, I mean, we make fun of him, but, you know, he's...
But he's a bad baseball player.
Yeah, he's a terrible baseball player.
He's still one of the worst.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's over with for you. Sorry, it didn't work out.
Guess what? It's not. He's still with the Mets, and he's going to be out at spring training. So if you're in the Florida area and you go to the Grapefruit League, you can catch yourself some Tim Tebow. You want to go fly out there? See some Tim Tebow?
No, we have spring training here. There's one literally 10 minutes from my apartment. So, no, I don't want to go anywhere.
The good stuff.
I'll go see the Diamondbacks. So
I'm obviously not talking about Tim Tebow, but the big conversation, we've seen a lot of it, and we've covered it ad nauseum, and we probably covered it last week, but I think this angle is interesting to talk about for just a minute. And if you want the 2018 coverage of Acuna, definitely log in and lock in to In This League, because when our book comes out, we have got a debate centered around Acuna that I think is fascinating for this year. You want to talk about buzz players that we put together? Little tease for you. But something came up today with a bunch of our industry friends. The conversation was kind of going about, you know, Acuna's had his level. I talked about it on Target. But he incepts himself into everything, because our buddy James Anderson from RotoWire, he posted a question, who do you want more, Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Victor Robles? And then the conversation started turning to how everybody feels Victor Robles is undervalued this year. And then, of course, it turns into Victor Robles is going to be better in 2018 than Ronald Acuna, because you can get him almost at half the cost. Acuna is probably going between, ADPs are misleading. There's ADPs that say like 130, 140. He's going around 100 or 90. Yeah. And Victor Robles is going around 180 to 200. Neither one guaranteed playing time to start the season. But people, it's becoming a divide. So, Bogman, how do you feel about this? I mean, you've seen both of these players play in person. I've seen a crap load of both of them. Neither one is guaranteed a job, though there is a spot open for Acuna, and Victor Robles will have to unseat a player like Michael Taylor. But what do you think about this this contentious argument of Victor Robles will be better than Ronald Acuna?
I mean, here's the deal. Like, I think Acuna is the better player. So, especially if you see what he did between three levels last season, was crazy. But I think that Victor Robles probably has a shot to come up earlier, especially if Michael Taylor doesn't play well. I know you said he has to unseat a guy like that, but when you have a player the talent of Victor Robles and you're in a World Series run, and that's what the Nationals are in. They're in a World Series run. They're disappointed. They haven't made the World Series the last couple years. They've had the team for it for a while, and I think they're going to want to get him up and get him going early. So I think that he's definitely coming up early. Whereas there is a spot for Ronald Acuna, but I don't know that they have to have him. They're not playing for anything this season. So especially if he starts out bad or starts out slow or anything, or just for the fact that, you know, they won't want to start his clock yet, they may not bring him up till later in the season. So
I mean, most people,
I was just going to say, if they're both up day one, I want Acuna. I think Acuna is a better player.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in agreement. But one of the things that most people are going in and assuming is Acuna is going to be up from day one, essentially day one, and that Victor Robles may have to fight for it. One thing I said on Target today is I think Victor Robles is going to have a better average, and I think Acuna might suffer from more streaky struggles. But that doesn't mean that, you know, Robles will be better. I think Robles actually might have better stolen base numbers, but Acuna definitely could surpass in power, RBIs, and runs. It's dependent on how much time they both play. But what the question comes down to is it's becoming an ADP question. Is it worth the risk of taking Acuna at 90, or are you better set to take Victor Robles like 150 plus? I mean, what would you do given the option? You have to take Acuna at 90, or you get Victor Robles at, I'll call it 160.
Well, I'm not going to own either one of these guys. I can tell you that right off the bat because they're going to be just too rich for me. But if I had to pick one, because I don't want either one of them, I'm going to take the guy with the lower ADP, and I'm going to take Robles.
Yeah, that's what I figured you were you would go with Robles. And then it makes a lot of sense. It's going to be hard-pressed for me to own Acuna this year. I think people are going to be incredibly aggressive on him. I'm probably more likely to own Robles, even though it's a little bit more sketchy. If Michael Taylor gets off to a big start.
Yeah, that's you and people drafting around you, though. But for the normal guy, let's say you're Ruby McRube face and you're in a Rube league, right? And you're in your 12-man Rube league. And, you know, Acuna's going off at 100 and Robles is going off at 180. And that's kind of the standard. Nobody's going to take Acuna in the fifth round to be a jerk to the Welsh and make him mad. What are you going to do?
I probably own Acuna. I take the risk. I'm doing things a lot safer in the early rounds lately. You know, I'm taking less pitching early on. I'm taking offense. Then I'm taking my pitching. So Acuna might – I want Acuna as like my third outfielder, and I can put that inherent risk into him. But there's a couple other young guys that I really, really like. There are a lot of young players. Rafael Devers, Ozzie Albies, Yoan Moncada. Those are some players that have had some established at-bats that are going to get major run this year. And in some cases, Acuna is going above them. I'm telling you, the debate we have, I think, is going to get people excited in the book with Acuna because I think it's the perfect player to place against. And that's, I think, the battle where at one time we had even this is a behind-the-curtains thing. We had this conversation about having like an Acuna versus an Adam Jones, you know, this established player who's going to get his at bats, 30 plus homer type of guy. Average is always questionable. He's just a safe option, but it's usually around the 120. Or do you take that inherent risk? I think risks are important to do in fantasy. You just have to be calculated about it. You know, I don't think owning Shohei Ohtani as your number two pitcher or number one pitcher to go with Acuna, and then maybe you're also taking, you know, a Robles as well, or you're taking a Moncada with it. I'm not so sure that's the safest thing to do in a redraft.
That's a calm your ass down, team. Don't do
totally.
That. Do not do that. Calm your ass down. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there.
I mean that, you know, I kind of like that debate of Adam Jones versus Ronald Acuna because you see last year Adam Jones hit 285.
That's not the one we did, by the way. That's not the one in the book that we did.
It's not, but 82 runs, 26 homers, and 73 RBI. He doesn't steal anymore. That's over with. And he hit 285. So, you know, the past couple of years is 265, 269. Last year he bumped it up to 285. That's a decent debate.
But I don't think you can have it, though. I don't think if we put a poll out right now, if we put it out right now, should we put one out? I mean, we're not going to be able to talk about it. We could review it. I will bet you that thing is 70% Ronald Acuna at
I think
minimum.
You're right, because we've seen what Adam Jones has. And, you know, all the guys that you mentioned that weren't Robles or Acuna there, I'd take over those guys because they're going later and they're going to start in the bigs, 100%, 100,000%. I know Acuna is assumed to. I just don't know if that's going to happen. We've assumed guys starting opening day if he struggles in spring training, you know, and we've seen him have a couple little attitude things going on. So they may want to just set a marker and say, hey, look, you know, you have this attitude in spring training. We're not going to bring you up to start the season. There's so many things that can happen between now and opening day. I just don't want to say that he's starting. So I'd rather have Moncada. I'd rather have Albies. And you mentioned one other guy, and I can't remember who it was.
Devers.
Devers. I would much rather have Devers than either Acuna or Robles.
It's a question, though, because if you go look at Bellinger, you know, Bellinger, I was banging the door down for Bellinger to draft last year, and a lot of people didn't want to jump on that train, and he came up early, and he was out of this world. And, you know, he had a big swing. It was fast. It was projectable, but he was maybe going to be prone to strikeout stuff, and he lit the world on fire. Some of the attitude stuff with Acuna is a little, it's a little miscalculated. People are interpreting it wrong. The Braves did rocket him up the system, but there is still stuff. You know, the service clock is another interesting one, but they did make room for it. I think it's a fascinating debate. Adam Jones versus Acuna is amazing to me, but, you know, it's going to be 80%. We got one more small segment. Maybe we'll get to another little baseball thing, so don't go anywhere. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh for In This League. We got you back.
This league.
Brady's the guy that brings the ladies to the table. Roethlisberger is just like the funny guy that people are like, hey, Ben,
I'll take
drink
the
that.
And everyone laughs at
him. Like, everyone just tells Ben to do stuff and he's like, okay. And then everyone just has a good laugh at Roethlisberger. And they're like, hey, Ben, can you take Stormy Daniels to the hotel room?
Like okay.
You know, like, eat the chips off the floor or whatever.
Hey, Ben, how much to eat those three chips that have been there 2 hours? I'll just do it.
Saturdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Friends also listen to Endless Love when it's light out. In the afternoon, in the mornings, on Saturday. There's no
right,
restriction on Endless
burrito.
Love. They, right. Yeah, breakfast burrito. Maybe McGriddle from McDonald's. Sponsored.
Yeah. Bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Club. Yeah. Get it now, your way. Come on. We're trying to get sponsorships here. Let's get it. Aren't those the advertisements? You know where else you can listen to Endless Love? You can also listen to Endless Love when you're doing 105 miles an hour on the freeways out here in Phoenix.
I think that's what he was doing, 105.
Yeah. Yosemite Tomas. Love. At least, you know what? Let's give credit to Yosemite Tomas. At least when he got pulled over and arrested, he didn't say that he was going to expletive on an officer's expletive.
Huevos?
He didn't do any of that.
He didn't say any of that. He just went, he was the Monopoly card. Go to jail, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect
$200. $200,000. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That was him. He was the thimble, and he went straight to jail. It's over with. So
I don't know why. For some reason, to me, him as a Monopoly piece makes him more endearing to me now.
Can you see him with a monocle and a top hat?
I can. I don't like Yosemite Tomas. I'm just not a big fan.
I mean, you know how he can make this up? Hit 40 homers. Hit 40 homers, and I will forget about you going 105. And
how about play 100 games?
My neighbor's lives. I mean, he's done
about
100
games.
Yeah, well, you know, just come to camp in shape. Do that.
Yeah, in a shape, not the shape that you usually come
not
to
the,
camp
in. Yeah, not the one that we're used to. So
first time I ever saw Yosemite Tomas live and in person, I don't know if this was Bogman's first as well, it was the game in Arizona that Will Ferrell was doing his HBO documentary. Bogman and I happened to be at that game where he went to every single AZL park in one day and played every single position on the field. And it was the Reds versus the Diamondbacks. And he played left field, and then he played third base. He played third base for the Reds, left field for the Diamondbacks. And he even had a couple balls hit towards him. That was a cool, cool moment. Bogman and I out at the Will Ferrell game.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because they helicoptered him in. And his helicopter landed on one of the practice fields. And then it's in the logs, like you can see it. He was traded for a D-bat dog and like four bags of peanuts or something. So
that's pretty cool.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I saw Tomas before that, and he was was biffing stuff at third base. And then I saw him during the regular season. We lost to the Nationals like 16-3. My buddy bought us these badass seats. They were awesome. We sat like, you know, on the dugout like five rows back. I got a shirt and everything, and we just proceeded to be murdered. 187 on us, the Welsh. Michael Taylor hit two bombs in that game. It was ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, the whole idea of it. All right, well, there you go. That's a show. You missed any of it, go listen to it on demand. Search In This League at iTunes. It will get you set. As well, search for the rest of the podcast. We'd love for you guys to join us on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. We just did a Dynasty mock. We did a couple Dynasty episodes, so we got you covered there. This coming week, we've got a whole bunch of great stuff, whether it's NFL prospects, baseball prospects. I've got my interviews if you want to hear Junior Spivey and Kamar Rocker, Eric Longenhagen as well from Fangraphs. We are loaded over at InThisLeague.com, so go check out all that stuff as well. The new time slot, it works for us. I mean, the mornings are good. I think next week, I got a segment idea, Bogman. You okay. Bring in a breakfast burrito every week, and we try them from different places.
I could probably do that. I can make that happen.
Okay. So next week, who do you go to first?
You know what? I'll try a Whataburger breakfast burrito.
Oh, that sounds awful. All right. There you go. Join up with the club, the Whataburger Club. Yeah, all right, next
awful.
Week.
Do it.
Whataburger breakfast burrito. That's how we'll open it up. Join us on Saturdays as you always do. Find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Thank you. Big ups to Chris Pavona. He's the man. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a great day. Good luck in the playoffs. See you next time.